This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I was pretty confident that we were going to be able to get something worked out. And so it was more so just kind of sitting down and putting our heads together to make something good for both sides. And I was confident that this was going to work out. I just love what we're building here. I love the team. I feel like this is the place. You know, you always want to be in a place where they want you to be here and they accept you. And I think we got unfinished business to do.
Bobby Wagner just minutes ago on a Zoom with the local beat talking about unfinished business for the Commanders after an NFC championship game berth.
Here we go.
What a time to be alive. He is back, and he will be leading this defense out of the tunnel in week one when they try to not only get back to the NFC title game, but try to get to and win a Super Bowl now. And those are their aspirations in the building. I mean, they're going to be talking about that internally. Their work's cut out for them. The schedule's obviously going to be much more difficult. But, Danny, one thing they'll have to do a lot better, not only if they want to win a Super Bowl, but if they want to have a dozen wins again, if they want to be a playoff team again, they are going to have to stop the run in a way that they couldn't last year. To have played as poorly against the run as they did and had the success that they did is like eating fast food every day and not gaining weight. It's not going to work very often. 30th, 138 yards per game allowed on the ground. 28th, 4.8 yards per carry just about given up on the ground. So now, John Allen's gone, your D-tackle, who at times has been very good against the run. And your linebacker, the only area you could really upgrade if Wagner walked, not in terms of overall play, I don't think you would have been able to upgrade from him, but maybe you would have just gone and gotten a speed guy who could get everywhere and 132 tackles becomes 157 or something like that. You've got a year older. You're going to have a 35-year-old Mike linebacker who's going to be really good downhill, you know, in that A-gap area, but probably not get to as much cleaning things up on the outside. So how do they improve and get to a point where they are at least average or a little better than that stopping the run?
What's so nuts about this, just as a quick editorial, is there were games and times where they were actually pretty good at it. That's what made this so frustrating. I mean, if you remember, you know, like Saquon Barkley has 110 yards in the first quarter and 40 the rest of the way on 19 carries, whatever the numbers were. There were games at a time where they were good. In week one, they were good against Tampa. They were good against, now these teams aren't any good, but whether it was Carolina or Cleveland or Tennessee or New Orleans, I'm not saying these are Nebraska in the 90s run offenses, yeah, but still, like, they were good at times. And then at other times, it looked like they had have never seen a running play before and were a disaster.
So that's what bad teams do against the run would be my response.
Yeah.
They're still 28th out of 32 when you line up for 17 games. Every team is good at times because the other team maybe doesn't run the ball well or misses an assignment or whatever it is. Like, the bad teams have those stretches too, as evidenced by the fact that with all those good stretches you mentioned, only four teams were worse.
Yeah, they were still horrendous.
And to that point, when Barkley rips off 100 and a quarter, and then you do a really good job for the last three quarters.
Still didn't do that good a job.
Respectfully, that's a failing grade.
Yeah.
You know?
Overall, sure. So I guess to me, this is a, I think it's a big part of personnel issue. they're basically running. I mean, they switch and there's personnel shuffling in and out all the time, but this is basically a one-gap scheme. And what you really want to do in a one-gap scheme is have the guy, a defensive tackle, and then in this case, you know, your four-down defensive lineman, penetrate, disrupt, bother. Every once in a while, you might get gashed in the run game because somebody overcommits or the play is flowing a different direction. But if you can win and get upfield, you disrupt and you get teams out of it. They didn't have anybody very often or often enough that could win and get upfield. Allen, at one point in his career, I think, was that guy. Daron Payne in his contract year was that guy. This is not your Tony Siragusa, Gilbert Brown, smart car up front, occupy some blockers, let linebackers flow, keep Ray Lewis's jersey clean so you can go make 175 tackles. That's not how this group operates. So you're vulnerable to a lot of things. Runs outside especially because I think their edge defending was disastrous in that regard. They just simply didn't have the horses. When Dante Fowler is your down defensive lineman on first down, he's 240 pounds, give or take, right? I mean, you think of a Trey Hendrickson, for example, is 270 pounds. Now, that matters when it comes to being able to bother a tackle, push him into the backfield, maybe be more accountable against the run. They just simply were so bad at the edge, it was like a kid getting tickled, and he could stop one, but then, you know, some other ones are getting through to different spots. They simply couldn't mask everything and all their problems. And I think also they were so terrified of their pass defense that they were willing to sometimes let teams run all over them at the risk of big plays happening in the other direction.
So I don't know about the second part there. You may be right. I'd have to look more into that, and I never really watched it from that perspective to be able to agree with you. I would just say that's probably not what happened, but you might be right. The first part, we will agree, it's almost going to be boring because I believe that the path has to be through what you do on the edge at defensive end, because that's where they really scuffled last year. And I can't reiterate this enough. I wish I still had these numbers. I had them the week of the Falcons game, and I'm kicking myself for not looking them up again last night, but I will pull them up hopefully, and at some point today I'll throw them out there. But the way that they defended outside zone, and not just specifically that look, but any kind of stretch carries to the outside last year was abysmal. They were the worst in the league for the vast majority of the season. And I keep going back to the team that does it the best, Atlanta, with Bijan, and how they just ate their lunch over and over and over again. But you guys know what it looks like. You saw it with Jahmyr Gibbs at times against Detroit, who did whatever he wanted, and thank God they slowed him down by default. Detroit stopped giving him the ball. But I think that's got to be the path. You cannot go get a defensive end who's Dante Fowler, where it's just pass rush speed, and I can't, you know, I'm going to play 60% of snaps. I think Fowler was like 52, 53% last year, but I'm not going to help you against the run. You could have one of those guys. It's got to be probably your third defensive end. You need Dorrance Armstrong, whether he's got to beef up or not, to you know, be healthy, play 15 to 17 games and help you in that area. And then whoever you bring in here, maybe that's Harold Landry. Maybe that's Josh Sweat. Maybe that is Trey Hendrickson, hopefully. They got to be able to stop the run. Because it was bad last year, man. And there's ways to get better. You could beef up at D-tackle. They've gone the other direction today. You could get faster at linebacker. They've kind of gone the other direction today. So, okay, well, now you really have to turn up the heat on the other positions. And if that means in the secondary, when you could get a corner, it can't be someone who's awesome in coverage but unwilling on the outside to come downhill. Let's go to Gage in D.C. on the Fan. How are you?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, how are you doing? They're going to have a big regression next year.
Why is that?
I'll make this super quick. They lost to the Bucks first week by 17 points. They barely beat the last place Giants by 3. They beat a good team at the time, Bengals, by 5. They killed the Cardinals, yes. They killed the Browns,
Gage, we can't go through the whole schedule here, but what's your larger point?
They are a huge regression. They only beat 3 playoff teams last year. They have lost. I mean, look at their stats.
There's no way.
I mean, they lost to the Steelers.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, the Steelers were playing really well at that point.
I mean, we're talking about week one. In the playoffs, they beat Detroit and put on a clinic. They beat the Bucks, really good team, both of those on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And, eventually gave up a ton to the Eagles. Now, I actually happen to agree with his larger point. I just think last year was kind of, a year where a lot of things went well. Not to the same extent of Rivera's first year when at 7-9 they won the division because nobody around them was good. But I remember at the end of that year feeling like this is a bit of a House of Cards thing and the bottom's going to fall out. It's not the same way this time because you have Jaden Daniels. You have the quarterback who, if he's as good as we all think he is right now, then the floor is very, very high. And you're probably still going to be a playoff caliber team. But the schedule's going to get harder. You're not going to surprise anybody. And for those reasons, if no other reason, I think that it's very reasonable to say I'll take the under on their 12 wins.
Yeah, they're playing better teams. That's on paper. Who knows when you play them and if their quarterback's healthy or not or something's gone wrong or right. Who knows? But again, on paper, their schedule's more difficult.
Let's go to Jay in D.C. What's up, buddy?
What's up, you guys? Okay, compliment, right? You guys have the best show on radio. Love you guys. But I feel like you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. Like, I feel like there's a technical reason why you let John Allen go, but you're not talking about that. You're talking about economics. So as soon as the draft came out, all of you guys, you, rest of the media was saying, okay, they're going to let John Allen go. And then, like it went straight to trading, and it was completely reasonable just to let him go, even though you say there's never been a bad one-year deal, and he was on a bad one-year deal. He was on a one-year deal. And we can't spend all the money, so why not play him? We need good players, so why let him go? Second, you let Debo come in, give a fifth-round pick, paying him $17 million, that's fine. And then when Christian Kirk gets traded for a 7th and a lower contract for a younger player, then you're like, oh, how does that make any sense? And you're laughing at Houston. Christian Kirk had 2 freak injuries. Besides that,
I'm not
he's younger.
At Houston. I think it was good value. I like the move.
Yesterday, you guys were like making fun of it. Like, why would you get a 7th round pick?
All we said was
if they're already going to let him go. But
yeah.
you guys said John Allen was. Okay.
Hang on 1 second. All we said yesterday was it's always hilarious when a guy that everybody knows is going to get cut ends up getting traded for something. But if you listen,
you knew John Allen was going to get traded. Like everyone knew John Allen was going to get cut, but we were talking about him getting traded like it was a realistic thing. Everyone knew Debo was going to get cut.
Just like it did yesterday with Christian Kirk. It absolutely can happen. It's not like it never happens, but this was always the most likely outcome because nobody was taking on his contract. I think most of us knew he wasn't getting traded or presumed that. But, yeah, if you could find a dance partner, if a desperate team who liked his tape said, we'll bring him in and extend him and give him a couple more years on his deal and spread out the money, certainly possible. We talked about both outcomes. Specific to, I guess he was saying the double talk of liking the Debo move at similar money. It's pretty simple to me. If they would have kept John Allen, I wouldn't have had a major issue. You just have a defensive tackle who can help you that you overpay on a one-year deal, not the end of the world. I think releasing him makes more sense because now you can then go spend more of this $16 million on other areas that help your ball club. But both are true. He's acting like it has to be one or the other. Are they releasing him because they drafted Johnny Newton and don't need John Allen as much or because of the financials? And my point is, yes. If he made $4 million, he'd be here. But also, he wouldn't be playing as much because you drafted Johnny Newton, who's good, to make sure he doesn't play as much as an eighth-year guy who's aging and injury-prone.
Now, we did a topic a while ago. Maybe you were out for this. I don't remember. But I said if I could keep one, I would actually keep Allen and try to move on from Daron Payne and at whatever value I could get. Who knows if they tried to do that or not? I mean, you know what I mean? We have no idea what the conversations were. If there was any market for him or not. My bet is not really, yeah. Right? So this is a lever kind of that you can pull. I don't like this. I would have loved to have kept John Allen. I don't know if I was clear about that. I'll say that. Just depends on what they do with it from here on out. I'm assuming they're going to...
So you would not have cut him?
Let me try to phrase this the right way. If they're going to spend how I'd like them to spend, then I probably would have had to. But if they're going to do what I'm suspicious of, which is maybe we've done our big moves and that's it, we're going to fill in around the edges, then I'm going, well, I'll overpay for a guy that's a veteran rather than not spend this money.
Yeah, you want that money so that you can go get better.
Yes.
You think there's a chance they roll a bunch of money over and don't need this.
Yes.
And if it works out that way, you'd rather have John Allen.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you for summarizing.
For me, it's just simple. Is he worth $16.5 million at this point? No.
No.
And it's not that, by the way. That's what they're saving. He actually makes like $22.5 million. I would rather have that money to re-spend now a year after drafting a defensive tackle in the second round who personally I think is going to be better this year than John Allen would have been in Johnny Newton. That's how good I think this kid can be. So I want to be really clear about that. I think this is good business. Every situation, every position is a little bit different. Going and getting Debo, who might be able to score 7 or 8 touchdowns on a one-year deal for that money, is worth it to me. A weapon added to Jaden Daniels. But yeah, this was not like a necessity that you had to cut John Allen. Because to your point, we're working from two different perspectives. What I'm hoping they do, which is spend close to up to the cap to try to go win as many games as they can this year. And then that $16 million really helps you. If they end up having, you know, $19 million in space when free agency is over or something, and then we sit here and say, would they be better off having $3 million in John Allen? Yeah, possibly. But let's see what they end up having available. Right now, you're in the mode of creating as much space as you can, and maybe today they trade for Trey Hendrickson, for all we know, and you just freed up $16 million of the money that you're going to give him. I'd sure as hell rather have him. So give yourself the options going into the market is kind of how I feel.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house... It's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.